This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'hdi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقال تعالى في القرآن الحكيم إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين وقال تعالى وأتموا الحج والعمرة لله فإن أخسرتم فما استيسر من الهدي In the name of Allah, as we mention the name of Allah, surely all praise and gratitude belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we praise Him, we thank Him, we seek His forgiveness, guidance and His mercy. We seek refuge in Allah from the bad insiders as we seek His refuge and protection from our bad deeds. Know then one who is guided by Allah, they are truly guided. One who is left to go astray will not find a guide or a protector or a helper after that. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. Glory be to Him. He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is His slave and messenger. Dear brothers and sisters, firstly, I wasn't meant to be standing here today. Actually, Sheikh Hassan, who was supposed to do the khutbah today, is ill. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him shifa.
First thing, we have a blue Vauxhall parked on Hermitage Road corner on the double yellows, right in the corner. It's creating problems. People nearly had a crash. FL23 NJD. Next we have HX16GRU, it's blocking two driveways. Then we've got a blue Peugeot LD11 VLT, a black Seat YM70 HDV, both blocking driveways, getting a complaint. I'm just waiting for the registration to come through now. Two cars, I've not got the details yet. Two cars have been hit by a car that hasn't stopped. We've got its registration and a picture of it. So let me find out which two cars have been hit. It's a grey car and a blue car, I've been told. I've not been able to look yet because I've had all the other complaints.
Okay. Then they say Dr. Munir carries on and makes his khutbahs long. Well, most of some of the khutbah has been taken over, but we seem to be increasing in number, don't we, in the number of cars. I don't know what's wrong with us. But actually, I do know what's wrong with us. Sheikh Hassan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him shifa. So, sadly for me, I got a call 10:30, 11 o'clock. My head spinning that... luckily, fortunately, the other khutbah did not answer their phones. Very clever and very wise. Actually, I tried not to answer mine as well, but I felt guilty and rang back. So here I am. So you must think I've taken you back in time. The Hajj season already gone. What is he on about? Well, I came back from that, so I have to share some things with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the first house, place of worship, in the awwala baytin wudiya linnas, for the worship of Allah alone, for human beings, bi Bakka, at Mecca, meaning the Kaaba, Masjidul Haram. Mubarakan wa hudan lil alamin, full of blessings and a guidance for the whole of humanity. Fihi ayatun bayyinatun maqamu Ibrahim, in it are clear signs, including the station, the place where Ibrahim stood, alayhi salam. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا, and whoever enters into this place should find security. This is a place of security. Yeah, that's what it means, security. Should find security. كَانَ آمِنًا. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, and it is an obligation for people, meaning for believers here, and nas here, to do hajj, to this place, pilgrimage, for those who are able to make their way and get there and carry out the hajj. مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. All that is covered in مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, whoever rejects and disbelieves, because the hajj is not for them. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ, for surely Allah is above all need from all of his creatures, doesn't need them. This ayah and the other, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ, in Surah Al-Baqarah, and complete the hajj and umrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordaining, ordering, for Allah, for the sake of Allah. Whoever is prevented from proceeding, فَمَنْ أُحْصِرْتُمْ, then they should sacrifice whatever is affordable from an animal. Details behind that, no time to go into today. These ayat made the obligation of hajj the most popular and strongest opinion that they were ayat, an obligation of hajj came in the sixth year of hijrah. There's some difference of opinion, and hence there's other differences. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fi hadith alladhi rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim, ya ayyuhan nas, كتب الله إن الله كتب عليكم الحج فهجوا, فقال رجل أكل عام يا رسول الله, فسكت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى قاله ثلاث مرة, ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لو قلت نعم لوجبت ولما استطعتم ذروني ما تركتكم فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ كَثْرَةُ سُؤَالِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافُ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ فَإِذَا مَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَإِذَا نَحَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَدَعُوهُ. Prophet ﷺ said, oh people, hajj, Allah has ordained and made hajj obligatory for you, so do the hajj. So one of the Sahaba, and another hadith mentions who it is, Al-Aqra ibn Habis, he said, every year, O Messenger of Allah, Prophet ﷺ stayed quiet and ignored him. So he kept on repeating it until he said it three times, and the Prophet ﷺ said, had I said yes to your question, it would have become obligatory every year, and you would not been able to bear it and do it. So leave me alone when I leave you alone, and tell you to do something, just go and do it. Because the people before you, believers before you, were destroyed for no other reason except for excessive questioning and then disagreeing with the prophets because they didn't like the answers that they gave them with their excessive questioning, in other words. So when I tell you and order you to do something, then do it as much as you are able to. And when I tell you to leave and stay away from something, then stay away from it. Then stay away from it. So hajj became obligatory, and ulama differed. Is it, and I mentioned this because it's important as we encourage you to go to hajj, is it alal fawr alal tarahi? Is it become obligatory when you've got the means and the the visa and the health to be able to go and do it? Does it become immediately? Well, most of the scholars went for that actually. Malikiya, Hanabila, Abu Hanifa, Abu Yusuf from the Hanafiya, they went with this opinion that it becomes obligatory immediately upon you, whatever age you are. Soon as you can, you should do it. And majority of, well, all the hadith that are used in this regard, hadith like do Hajj before you end up in difficulties or you face some kind of calamity or illness, or the one who is able to do Hajj and doesn't do it, dies the death of being a Jew or a Christian, all these are hadith are weak or very weak. So they cannot be used as evidence. But it is the opinion. So if you follow those schools, that's fine. It's interesting. Shafi'iyya and from Hanafiya, Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani, al-Awza'i and Sufyan al-Thawri from the Salaf, they had the opinion that Hajj is to be done later on. They say that the Prophet ﷺ, Hajj becomes obligatory in 6th Hijrah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh leads the Hajj in 9th Hijrah, and the Prophet ﷺ does it in 10th Hijrah, only a few months before he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the evidence for delaying it. Anyhow, whichever you do, I encourage you to do it. When we say delay it, what I would say is don't leave it till we become old and decrepit, walking with a walking stick, needing a wheelchair, yeah, almost collapsing, because actually Hajj is not obligatory on you then. There's no istita'a, even if you have the money and the means. We have this wrong concept. So do it. I believe the best opinion is do it later. That's the strongest opinion, in my opinion. But you can follow the other opinions. But even if you do delay it, not to that extent that you're walking and collapsing, right? Or in a wheelchair. Yeah. And what I saw on the faces of those in those conditions is not smile and happiness, but suffering. And I'll come back to that point later. So, do it, but not so much. And doing it young, well, actually, do it, that's fine. If you want to do it young, nobody can stop you because that's the opinion of those if you're able to. Yeah. And able to, nevertheless, there is no evidence that we have to actually save for Hajj. If the money is available, we've got the... But when I say that, there's no evidence that it's an obligation for me to put some money aside every month for Hajj. There's no evidence. But if I'm able to spend thousands every year going on holiday, especially in our communities and in this country, it's a tradition, isn't it? But I don't have money to do the Hajj, then I need to question myself, don't I? That's the other side of it. Doing it young, I think there's indication in other hadith as well, where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man hajja," hadith الذي رواه البخاري ومسلم, "Man hajja, falam yarfus, walam yafsuk, raja'a kayomi waladatu ummu." Whoever does Hajj doesn't do any rafath in it, which is lewd behavior, and doesn't sin, behave badly, lam yafsuk, fisk, returns as though the day his or her mother has given them birth. Meaning sins are cleansed. You don't want to come back too early in that state in your teenage years, do you? Because now you start for the rest of your life building sins again. And that is an indication that you've lived a bit of a life, and all of us are committing sins, yeah? So there's an opportunity for all those sins to be wiped away. So if I've just started out in my teenage years in my life, yeah? Despite having the ability to do Hajj, there's an indication there that it's a bit later on. Yeah. Of course, not meaning that, you know, go out of your way mounting lots of sins, waiting for Hajj that Allah remove them away. You don't play tricks with Allah. Glory be to Him, of course. Yeah. And the hadith in regards to the fadila and virtue of Hajj, there are many. and the authentic ones. In Bukhari Muslim, Abu Huraira says that Su'ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayyu amal afdal, which is the best and most virtuous of deeds, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked. Qal, Iman billahi wa rasooli, to believe in Allah and His Messenger. Thumma ay, it was said then, which one after that? Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-jihad fi sabilillah. And here jihad means going out, defend, putting your life and wealth at risk in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qil, it was said, Thumma ay, then after that what? Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-hajjul mabrur. Hajj, the hajj which is mabrur. Qala Nawawi, Imam Nawawi said, Mabrur means that which doesn't have sin in it. Yeah? Indicating from the other hadith, yeah, not going misbehaving badly, etc. Similar to what the Quran said. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-hajju ashurun ma'lumat, the hajj time, its months are known. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوكَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Whoever intends then to do hajj in it, then let there be no rafath, yeah, lewd talk and behavior. وَلَا فُسُوكَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Or ignorant sinning behavior, or even argumentation, raising the voice, saying bad things, getting angry, in other words, in the hajj. That's the idea of hajjul mabrur. وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ فِي حَدِيثِ الَّذِي رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِ وَمُسْلِمْ أَيْذًا الْأُمْرَةِ إِلَى الْأُمْرَةِ كَفَّارَةٌ لِمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. Between umrah and one, the other umrah is a wiping out of sins, that all that is between. Wal hajjul mabrur laysa lahu jazaa' illa al-jannah. And the mabrur, the good hajj without sin, there is no other reward for it except paradise. A beautiful hadith encouraging us in the virtues of doing hajj, brothers and sisters. And my favorite one, which is reported in Ibn Hibban al-Awza'i and al-Bazzar, the Prophet ﷺ said, Inna min afdali yawm indallahi yawmi arafah. The most virtuous of days before Allah is the day of Arafah. Is that yanzilullahu sama' ad-dunya fayubahi بأهل الأرض أهل السماء فيقول. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on the day of Arafah to the heavens surrounding the earth. This is the only time in the year where descent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is during the daytime, and it's the only day. We have authentic hadith about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descent in the last third of the night every night. But daytime, there's only one day, Yawmi Arafah. That's its fadila and its virtue. And he shows off the people of the earth to those in the heavens, meaning to the angels, saying to them, Undhuru ila ibadi, look at my slaves at Arafah. Ja'uni shu'than ghubran dajin, they have come to me Disheveled and dusty, sunbaked. Ja'u min kulli fajjin amik. They've come from every deep ravine, a mountain pass, meaning from all over the world. Yarjuna rahmati, wa lam yarau iqabi. They are seeking my mercy, and yet they've not seen my punishment. Yet they've not seen my punishment. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَلَمْ يُرَى يَوْمًا أَكْثَرُ أُتُقًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. There's no day seen where more people are saved from the fire, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, except the day of Arafah. This part also is reported in the hadith by Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih Muslim. Some people went to the conclusion, Yawm-e Arafah means for people all over the world, this is the day most people are safe from fire. It is not true, because you have to take the full hadith, which is telling you who it's referring to. It's something special for the people gathered at Arafah, at Arafat, on Yawm-e Arafah. That's who it's to do with. More people are saved there, to the extent Abdullah ibn Mubarak asked Sufyan Thawri from the Salaf, he said, what do you think of people in this gathering of Arafah? Yeah. Anybody that Sufyan Thawri mentioned that amongst this gathering, the most miserable person will be the one who doesn't believe that Allah can forgive them. So misery is not to believe Allah can forgive you. So having full hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness is the day of Arafah and being saved from the fire, most people being saved. This is that day. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لكم إنه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها الأخوة. Now comes a difficult bit. So this year, you'll have heard, at least 1,300, if you believe those figures, it's more than that. You never get true figures from many Muslim countries, do you? Unfortunately, that's our state. Perished because of the heat wave in Saudi, which is always hot. So heat wave means it was in the 50s. It was not Hajj that caused the perishment, brothers and sisters. That's the first thing to remove from our heads. Now we come to the state of the Ummah. Hajj was difficult, more difficult this year than what I've done before. Not just linked with the fact that I was younger then, but it was difficult, quite clearly, from what happened with people all around us. It is not Hajj that is difficult. There are other factors at work. And I always said, if you want to see the state of the Ummah, go to Hajj and Umrah and you'll see the state of the Ummah. Some people, actually many on the Ummah, have this idea that, well, you know, Hajj, people die. Well, it's supposed to be difficult, isn't it? Hajj is really difficult. Yeah, it's meant to be difficult. No, it's not. Hajj is not, no ibadah. Nothing in Islam is about suffering, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. And He hasn't put any haraj and difficulty in you in this deen. Where's that? In Suratul Hajj. And when it comes to fasting, the month of fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions after fasting, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you. He doesn't want to put you into tribulation and difficulty. If you can't pray standing, you can pray sitting. If you can't pray sitting, you can pray lying down. The idea is not to suffer. Islam didn't come to make you suffer. Hajj is not about suffering. Hajj is not there that you go with the idea, I want to go and die there. Of course, if you die there naturally, yeah, it's a place of blessing, no doubt. But you don't go with the intention of committing suicide there in your frenzy. In the frenzy. So Hajj is not what is difficult. It is either the facilities provided by the Saudis or the behavior of the Ummah when they get there. Yeah, or the facilities that have been provided by the company that you go with that causes the issues. That causes the issues. And I don't want to go into all the issues. That's for another time. But I want to mention one or two things. One, the dirtiest toilets, the filthiest toilets I have ever seen in my life, and I've traveled in the world, are at, you would expect me to say, Glastonbury, because that's happening soon, isn't it? Yeah? Well, kuffar get together, drink plenty of alcohol, take plenty of drugs, yeah? Do all sorts of zina and vomit everywhere, urinate everywhere, blah, blah, blah. That's where it should be, shouldn't it? But it's not. The filthiest toilets are in Arafat and in Muzdalifah. Arafat is the most blessed of places on the day of Arafah in the whole world. Our most blessed place. Muzdalifah is next to it. And we pride ourselves in being the cleanest of people. Oh, we're Muslims. At-tuhuru shatrul iman is from our hadith. That cleanliness is half of faith. Cleanliness is half of faith. And we mock others. Who? And ulama and fuqaha talk about najasa. A little bit of najasa going on your clothes and you have to go and wash, and how careful we are that we can't pray with najasa on. Yeah? There, Arafat, you're stepping with your ihram on, and the women, they've got longer robes on, into pools of filth in every toilet, and the toilet tissue being used by people is piled in a corner in the toilet. There is no way that you cannot get najasa all over your body. It is so filthy. And toilet tissue outside the toilets is flying around, with bottles flying around, because they didn't provide enough bins. And people are just throwing them on the floor. And the smell from the wudu area is worse than in the toilet. And Muzdalifah was worse than Arafat. And we are there going with the ihram on, coming out. And I was looking at the... I had to control myself. I had to do my dua and turn to Allah and try and put this behind me. Yeah, and the imam outside is doing long dua loudly with the toilets behind him. I wouldn't be able to stand there for 5 minutes with a long dua with the stink and smell and dirty toilet tissue and everything floating around. It would be better, I said, that the Hujjaj came there and knocked those toilets down rather than making dua spend time building new toilets. It isn't rocket science to change the facilities. It doesn't require billions of pounds of money. And we are paying in our thousands now. What's Hajj now? 10,000 to 13,000 if you want to go for one person from here. Yeah, where's all the money going? Isn't it interesting? I would like them to provide those toilets when they hold the multi-million pound boxing matches. No other country offers in the world that kind of money. That's why everybody's running there, aren't they? America can't afford to offer that kind of money to the boxers. Europe can't afford it. The East and West can't afford it. But Saudi can afford it. I want them to provide the toilets that they gave us at Hajj to those people who come there instead. We're supposed to be duf of Ar-Rahman. Wafdullah, the delegates of Allah, and that's how we get treated. But the other guests, well, provide them those toilets and see how many come. Yeah. They get away with it because, oh brother, have sabr, you're a Hajj. Hajj is supposed to be difficult. Yeah. So get filth all over you, no problem, brother, sister, no problem. It's because there's so many people. So many people, it's nothing to do with that. Just increase the number of toilets because you've got plenty of space on Arafat. It's a big, big place. Increase the number of people who are cleaning. The cleaners themselves are saying, oh, brothers, the Saudis, they don't care. Because it's sore. The toilets are broken before we arrive there. The cement's falling off. The tile's falling off. The hose is already broken before you arrive there. And after we leave, I tell you, it's worse than what Glastonbury will look like after they leave it. And Muzdalifah, you took an aerial shot. They only show you the aerial shot, yeah, when the Hujjaj are gathered. And from the aerial, they're saying, MashaAllah, the gathering of Hujjaj here, right? They should take the aerial shot when we leave the place and then show you the filth that's lying there. The whole place is covered with filth and rubbish. And they should show you the toilets, because I thought Arafat was bad. When I arrived in Muzdalifah, they were much worse. They were much worse. And I'll tell you something, what I found really. We were in a group, and I'm not going to blame anybody. I have great respect for all scholars. Our group, our scholar, decided to announce, and we'd been given a Hajj pack, In it was some scented soap and scented shampoo. It was provided by a Hajj company. Obviously, they knew. But our scholar decided to announce that we're all following Hanafi opinion. He didn't even mention the fact that there is a difference of opinion. He said, throw these away. You can't use them. Oh, that's great, isn't it? We're gathered in 2 million. For COVID, never mind for a cold, we were told to wash our hands with soap regularly to protect ourselves. Is that right? Diarrhea and vomiting had already spread in the camp. I already knew about it. Now, the scholar, in his wisdom, decided to apply Hanafi opinion and say, throw the soap and shampoo away, not realizing the consequences of the fatwa, not even mentioning that the Shafi'iyah and the Hanabila have a different opinion, that you can use the shampoo and soap with scent in it, because it is not like you are trying to put perfume on yourself. You're just washing your hands to keep clean and having a shower to keep clean. He didn't mention that. So the people threw. And I saw people coming out of those kind of filthy toilets I've described to you with najasa everywhere. And they came out and they just washed their hands with a bit of water. No soap. What was the consequence going to be of that? Have we got no sense? Where's sense gone? Yeah. Where did sense go? This is not Islam. This is not Islam. That everybody falls ill and we say, inshallah, mashallah, brother. Yeah. It was meant to happen. That's how it is. Fire breaks out, mashallah, inshallah. It was meant to happen. Right? And when it all goes wrong, here's another one. The whole thing you make a shambles of, then you say, sabr, brothers and sisters, you are hujjaj. This is inappropriate abuse of the word sabr. Because you're not going to change what you're doing of your failures, but you put the guilt on the people who you're making suffer and making them feel as this is Hajj. It is not Hajj. It is your incompetence that's caused this. I could go on, but time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I haven't even mentioned how the ummah behaves who arrived there. Yeah. We're told not even, what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? If you're late for salah, don't run. Walk with dignity, right? You go to the haram, the greatest mosque in the world, where every salah is given 100,000 times a reward. And people are running to it like herds of cattle, crushing anybody and anything in the way, including the guards, fighting with the guards, running like it's a Black Friday sale. But it doesn't fit there. It doesn't fit with dignity. It doesn't fit with dignity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide this ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and keep us on Siratul Mustaqim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our Hajj and Umrah for those who went. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of our sins. May Allah give tawfiq to all of you who've not been to Hajj, to go to Hajj. And may Allah make it easy for you. We pray that this ummah and the authorities there realize and change. Because if we don't change, we will carry on in the state that we're in the world, brothers and sisters. And that is true. May Allah forgive us. Allahumma ameen. إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه